Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through His Word.
So, as we're getting started, we've been in our current sermon series, which is Alter Egos, right? We've been talking about alter egos, and we're going to go over the definition, you know, of alter egos. So, first, we're going to start with alter. And so the definition of alter is places where the divine and human worlds interacted, places of exchange, places of communication and influence, markers of a place commemorating an encounter with God, place of sacrifice, and it's called the table of the Lord by the prophet Malachi. So I just want you to, reflect on these definitions. And we're really going to focus on, you know, that place of exchange, as well as that communication that is taking place as we dive into the word. And we're going to be diving into James. And our topic today is the altar call. Amen. The altar call. And I do understand. Yes. You know, when you hear altar call, what do you think about? You're thinking about, okay, at the end of service, you know, they call, you know, you up for prayer, you know, call you to commit, you know, to convert, give your life to Christ, that time. That's called an altar call. But we're going to break down the altar call. And so we're separating the words with altar and call. Amen. Because God is wanting to deal with this morning about the call. Amen. So, like I said, we're coming from James, and we're going to jump around a little bit. So we're coming from James chapter 1, verse 19. And I'm going to read all the scriptures. Amen. Amen. So it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And, you know, we're talking about the altar call, right? And like I said, you know, we've been in our sermon series about alter egos, you know, dealing with, okay, building back up the altar, you know, and we've even lately been dealing with, you know, how we've gotten altered, right? And just getting back in line and aligning ourselves up, you know, with the will of God, with the kingdom of God, the culture of the kingdom. And, you know, even Prophetess Benita did an awesome job last week, even regarding, you know, the altar victory, understanding, okay, God, we do have the victory, you know, in me waking up every day, making a choice, we have the victory. So, you know, even to maintain our victory, we're going to look at, okay, how do I maintain this victory? Amen. And so even as we're doing the altar call, I want to go over the definition, because we went over the definition for altar. So let's go over the definition for call. It says to speak in a loud, distinct voice, so as to be heard at a distance, to make a request or demand. Amen. So I want you to think about the altar and the call as we go throughout these scriptures, and even just reflecting on, you know, how when God was ministering to me as I was studying, this is, you know, about how we are living. So verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," and you know, God is very purposeful with his words. And even just to say, "Wherefore," he's saying, okay, so then, like, he's just taking a moment to get our attention. And it's that, "My beloved brethren," to know that you are loved. You are loved because he's what? Going to give us some instructions. You are loved because he is desiring for us to get, you know, to get our altar together, to get in that place where we're answering the call, where we're getting to the altar, having that exchange, having that communication. So it says, "Let every man be swift to hear." And so even with swift, this talks about, quick, being quick to hear. And I want to go over, we have a definition for hear, and we want to break it down a little bit because it talks about, even regarding this definition, is the Webster definition of, So this is the Greek definition, and it's called aku, to hear in various senses, right? So I need you to remember that when it talks about to hear in various senses. And so then the Webster dictionary, it talks about to perceive or become aware of by the ear, to gain knowledge of by hearing, and to listen to with attention, to take heed. So it says, you know, to be swift to hear, so that perceiving, us having that, gaining knowledge, even understanding, okay, God, you want me to be quick to hear, you know, in using other senses. And, you know, we know about the senses of our, you know, our taste, our touch, you know, our eyes, our sight, and, you know, our hearing. God is wanting us to use the senses, to be quick to use the other senses, right? So we have to be open, even as we are, you know, having that communication, that exchange, that building that altar, that getting in that place of looking at how we're living in, to be able to really answer the call. You have to be open to your senses. Allow God to move in your senses. Do not, you know, allow your senses, like, you got to be, pay attention, be aware of your senses. Amen. And it says slow to speak. So even when we're talking about, you know, this speak, this slow, that slow, it talks about, you know, slowing down. It's not saying that you're not going to speak. And see, some of us will look at this like, okay, well, I'm not even going to speak. But no, it says slow to speak. So even positioning yourselves to, let me hear, let me be quick with my senses of hearing you, God, of taking in the information, taking in the knowledge, and then let me take my time to speak, to make sure I'm speaking what I need to say, you know, speaking what God has given me to say. And it says slow to wrath. And this is, you know, as we're looking over this scripture, we really need to look at how we're living and to answer the call, because it says slow to wrath. And, you know, this scripture, I've learned this scripture, like, I've known this scripture, and I pray this scripture so much. But even just studying the scripture and studying, okay, wait, what does it really mean, you know, to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath? So I want to go over the definition of wrath, because, you know, as I dived in, and the Greek is orge, is pronounced orge, and it talks about the anger, the natural disposition, the temper, and the character. And even, you know, when we've gotten altered, you know, we find ourselves, you know, saying, okay, this is just my natural state. This is just my natural disposition to fall back on this. You know, that's why we have to get back in line. That's why we have to answer the call, so we can not take ownership of, you know, something that is not beneficial to our walk. Amen. Not beneficial to who God has called us to be. And it says movement or agitation of the soul, impulse, desire, any violent emotion, especially anger. So it's not just limited to anger. And see, that's for those that say, well, I'm not angry, I don't have anger issues. But it's violent emotion. It's a strong emotion. When you find yourself so strong in whatever emotion, that fear, that emotion of offense is so strong, it's going to lead to wrath. And so wrath can show up and manifest in so many different ways in our life, so many different ways in our walk, and how we've gotten altered. So even in us answering the call and understanding, okay, we need to get to the altar. We need to answer that call to the altar, because we've allowed some emotions to, you know, be so strong to where it's causing this anger to arise in us, even though it manifests in so many ways. Your face might not get red. You might not just start fuming, you know, at the mouth because you're angry, but it can manifest. But, you know, even as I was studying this and what God, you know, was speaking to me, and I'm gonna trust him, but even in this, you know, I want us to deal with this agitation of the soul. So in when it's saying slow to wrath, God was speaking and saying that some of us, we're agitated in our soul. And I need you to know today, God is wanting to free you from being agitated in your soul. you've had this agitation. And even when you talk, you know, as I was studying, I said, okay, God, this agitation, what is this agitation? That agitation, it looks different. The agitation, you know, even when you think of a washer, you know, washing machine, it has an agitator, you know, it brings that back and forth. Like it's that friction, it's going to be back and forth. But you know how agitation also manifests in a place of restlessness. See, some of you have been restless. Come on now. Hallelujah. But God is saying he's going to free you and deliver you from that agitation of your soul, that restlessness in your soul. Hallelujah. Come on, God. So even that agitation of restlessness, that anxiety, God, hallelujah, Jesus. See, some of you been that anxiety, have had anxiety about some things, have had anxiety about some decisions, have had anxiety even in the call. But God is saying he's coming to free you from that anxiety. He's coming to free you from that disposition of the agitation, that friction. You've had that friction, that agitation of your soul. And you know, even as I was studying, I said, God, you know, Pastor Katrina, she preached so awesome last week. I'm telling you, you guys can check, you know, and that's our campus in Florida. She's our senior pastor in Florida. And she was talking about just the inward fight, you know, that conflict in the inside. And even as I was studying this, I said, God brought it back to me, like that agitation of the soul. It's in that inside, you know. And even as I was dreaming and I saw a fight, and what it was is, you know, people were in a house, and you know, the fight came inside the house, but then went into a separate room and closed the door. See, that's just like some of us. We're maintaining our walk, our life, you know, interacting with others, but we find ourselves going in a back room and having a fight, having that agitation, having that friction, that back and forth, you know, in our soul, in your will, in your emotions, in your intellect, and, you know, in the inside of you, you're having that back and forth. You're like, God, this anxiety. You're trying to hold it together, but this anxiety, this restlessness, you're thinking, well, let me close the door to this restlessness, but you're in there with it, amen? But God is coming to meet us. And so it says slow to wrath. So this is how that wrath can manifest in so many ways in our life. And even it talks about anger, wrath, indignation, anger exhibited in punishment, hence used for punishment itself. And how many of us, we try to punish ourselves as well as punishing others? Because you would say, well, you know, I'm not trying to punish somebody, but you want to get revenge. And how many of us, even because of that agitation in our own selves, in our soul, we punish ourselves. Okay, God, you said open door, but I'm going to punish myself by not embracing that door because I don't think I deserve it. I don't think I'm still qualified. God, I didn't do all the things. I didn't check all the boxes, God. So I'm going to delay in walking through that door because, God, even though you sent the word and you spoke it to me, God, and you spoke it over the body, God, I'm going to punish myself. How can that look? I'm punishing myself by not putting in the work so that I can be able to walk through that door, to trust you, to, you know, yield, to give up the control, to actually walk in what God said, amen, to be able to answer the call, amen. So even as it says slow to wrath, so we have to really say, you know what, God, let me deal with and be open with this agitation of my soul. And, you know, I can't get off of that. And I know God has really been dealing with us, and even, you know, with me, because his word comes first for me. And I said, God, there has been some agitation in my soul, but God, thank you, God. We serve a God. He is delivering. He's like, I want to deal with that agitation. And God is dealing with that agitation on this morning. Amen. So even as we go to verse 20, and it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so here is this wrath, and that's how it can manifest so many different ways, for the wrath of man. So that punishment, you know, of man, when you feel like, okay, I need to look out for myself. I need to, you know, protect myself, or, okay, God, this is for you. So I'm going to respond to this, you know, my child, my spouse, my friend, my neighbor, whoever, my coworker, not, you know, doing what I think they need to be doing. So God, I'm going to, you know, take revenge. I'm going to punish them, you know, for your name's sake, God. You know, we do that. We demonstrate anger and wrath. Like, we have this violent emotion and we say it's for God. But this is saying for the wrath of man, because see, it's in our own selves. It's our, you know, anger, our violent emotion, like it's not, you know, God has not said, okay, this is what you should, you know, focus on, and this is what should make you upset, and really, yes, stand for this standard, stand for that. No, that's not what this is. It is okay, I just have this violent, you know, emotion in me. I have this anger, you know, I have this agitation of my soul. And it says it's worketh not righteousness. So that worketh, it even speaks to, you know, it's not benefiting us. It's not benefiting our walk. And this is what it's all been about. You know, the alter egos, really, you know, and why we log in, why do you look at the word? Why do you get in the word to say, okay, God, how is this, you know, allow this word to grow me, to benefit my walk? How is this pushing me closer, my relationship closer to you, God? Wherever I am, how is it, you know, if I'm here in my walk, how is it going to push me further towards you? Push me further in the things of God for your glory, for you to be pleased. You know, so it says for the wrath of man. So these, you know, that anger that we have, it's not going to profit. It says it doesn't profit. It's not going to work. It's not going to actually do anything. Not the righteousness of God, because God, you know, he is righteous, and we cannot, you know, say that, okay, I'm acting like this because it's because of the righteousness of God. God is saying, no, it's not going to benefit. It's not benefiting the righteousness, my righteousness. That is, you know, how you're choosing to react and to respond to someone or to something is not benefiting, and it's not working for me, for the righteousness of God. That is what this is saying. It's not working for his righteousness. And we have to really look at, like, things that we're doing, how we're responding, how we're reacting. Is it working for the righteousness of God? So what does that look like? Check your motives. Like, why are you responding? Why are you acting the way you are? Because God is letting us know that right there is not because of his righteousness. It's not because you're really trying to build the kingdom. It's not really because you're trying to see the kingdom of God advance. It's not that you're trying to strengthen the culture of the kingdom. No, it's not that. Why are you doing that? Why are you acting like that? Why are you responding like that? Amen. And so, you know, I'm grateful we're getting it right today. Amen. We're getting it right. I have not responded, you know, the way saying I have not responded correctly. And God had to deal with me like, okay, why did you react like that? That is not, you know, working towards the righteousness. Even, you know, I was reflecting on a conversation, and God is like, your interpretation, your perspective, and how you're taking this in, what you're hearing, that's not working towards my righteousness. Amen. So you have to really, you know, deal with yourself, even with the, you know, the alter egos. We're going to deal with that self, and we're going to continue on to verse 21. Amen. So even as we're dealing with the, okay, being quick, you know, to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, understanding what this wrath looks like, it says, wherefore lay apart. And so even here, we find that God is still, wherefore, again, he's given us more instructions. I want you to hear the instructions today. I prophetically speak that you will adhere to the instructions today. And those instructions is lay apart. And I said, you know, let me tell you, God, when I really, you know, and I read the scripture, and as I studied the scripture, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So let's just break that down, right? So to lay, it means to beat down and strike down with force. God really was dealing with me like, how much are we willing to beat down and strike down with force to separate that apart, to put it down, all the filthiness? That filthiness is the defile. You know, that filthiness, it represents the uncleanness. It represents the uncleanness, and superfluity, it speaks to excess of naughtiness. Like, you know, we want to have excess, but the excess, the extra, like so much of naughtiness, that is not benefiting us in the kingdom. That is not benefiting our walk. And that is why we need to answer the call today, because we need to stop, you know, allowing that extra to be built up of naughtiness. Like, we want, you know, what to be built up? Our faith. What to be built up? You know, the fruit of the spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, the word says, there is no law. So that's what needs to be built up and have extra of, right? You know, we need to have extra of those things. You know, I remember Pastor Kiri, you know, teaching and preaching. And she was talking about, you know, we can have just continue to have a lot of it. Like, it's not saying, oh, okay, that's too much love. That's too much temperance. That's too much meekness. You know, no, we need to have a abundance of that, but not an abundance of naughtiness. So look at how much, what is your abundance of? Is it how much naughtiness? Like, do are you looking to have an abundance of naughtiness? And this naughtiness, you know, it talks about evil, trouble, wicked, sinful, like even in your thought processing. And so even, you know, God was dealing with me and he was like, wherefore layest thou? Like, you know, I had a thought and God said, did you really like beat down? Did you really try to beat down and strike down with force that thought and pull it down? Like, did you pull it down with force? Like, when it comes to things that we entertain from, you know, our emotions and, you know, from the enemy and our own selves, we play around. We have the opportunity and it's open. We play around with it. Like, okay, the blood of Jesus, you know, no, don't have that thought. But God is saying, no, we have to be forceful and saying, I have to beat it down and be forceful and putting it down. All the uncleanness, that unclean thought, that unclean, you know, feeling that you're feeling, you know, that unforgiveness, you know, that bitterness, that anger, whatever you have going on, that's unclean. Your unclean may be different than my unclean. So you have to look at yourself to say what uncleanness I have and look to say, God, I need to beat it down and pull it down with force. Amen. And the superfluity of naughtiness. Like, God is saying, no, it's time out for us having that abundance of, you know, having a sinful nature, like, because we already have a sinful nature, but that, you know, and it's only through Christ and through the blood of Jesus that we're able to, okay, God, because if it's left up to me, naughtiness, if it's left up to you, naughtiness, right? But it's, I thank God, you know, for his grace, his mercy, him correcting us, helping us for his word. That's why we have to answer the call so that we don't have that abundance of naughtiness. And it says, and receive with meekness. So as we are, you know, forcefully pulling the, you know, these things down and receive with meekness the engrafted word, right? And this, you know, we want to take it in to receive with meekness, that lowness, you know, that being low and being open and humble and like, okay, I'm going to receive the engrafted word. And the engrafted word is the word, you know, the word of God, right? And it says, which is able to save your souls. And it is the word that is able to save your souls. But what I love, God is not, he's not wasteful with his words. And so I really want us to look at, like, even engrafted. It means to implant, you know, implantation, excuse me, to implant, to, you know, bury, to have in the inside. And so what God is looking for us is to have an implantation of his word. That is what's able to save our souls. That is what's able to keep us, to make us say, okay, I'm going to get up and make a choice, because, you know, when my flesh, when that naughtiness tries to rise up, when that uncleanness, that filthiness wants to come up, that implanted word that I have will come and I will be able to apply it where it needs to go for my soul to be saved. Amen. And so even as we're, and I want you to continue to remember engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So let's go ahead. And I told you, I was going to jump around a little bit. So we're going to Matthew 13 and 23. It says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so I want us to even look at this when it says, but he that received seed. And so this scripture is in reference to that engrafted word, right? Because we have to understand, some of us really need to deal with the ground. We really need to deal with, wait, why is the word not implanted in me? Why is the word not implanted in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul? Why is the word not planted in you? It says, but he that received seed. So you have to receive the seed. Take the seed. the word. God is the engrafted because he's implanting the word. And so our souls can be saved. We need to take the seed and allow the seed to be taken into the good ground. So, you know, we've been dealing with, and we've been talking about even with alter egos, like, you know, God, let us, you know, our heart be right. Let it be, you know, good ground. God, let us be able to receive, you know, your word. So we want to receive this seed. And it says, is he that heareth the word. So an indication of, okay, I received it and that it was on good ground, so that the word of God was implanted, was buried, you know. And this was, you know, it helped me in, okay, God, even on how to pray, God, let your word be implanted, you know, bury your word, you know, allow the root of your word to spread out. And, you know, we don't want to say those things, because when those roots, you know, that seed spread out in you, you know, it can get uncomfortable at times. It will be uncomfortable, but it's good. You know, that word spreading out in my heart, in those chambers, the word spreading out in all aspects of my mind, you know, in my mindset, all over, because the word wants to, you know, get to all the areas, you know. And even when we talked about before how that agitation in our soul, and we're going into that back room and having that friction, that back and forth, you know, that anxiety and that restlessness. But when the word is stretching out and the roots are stretching and moving in us and implanted in us, then it will get all the rooms. It will be able to get all the areas of our house, because remember, we learned we are the temple. You know, our house is a temple, and it's going to go all over. If you are one floor, two story, three story house, whatever, you know, those roots can be able to travel and get through every level, every area. All those thoughts get to every chamber of your heart, all of us. Amen. And it says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. So just even breaking this part down and understanding, okay, for the seed of God's word to be on good ground in me, to be implanted, to really be implanted, to grow, it says, is he that heareth the word. So we have to hear the word. Whatever senses you're using, even if you're reading, you're seeing, you're hearing it, you're audibly hearing it, you know, you're touching the word, you know, God, you know, you're tasting of the word, taste and see. So we're able to, you know, partake with our senses. It says, heareth the word and understandeth it. You know, God is wanting to give us understanding of his word. That's how we know that the seed is growing and it's implanted in us. And some of us, we feel like, okay, wait. And if you look and say, well, God, I feel like this word, the seed of your word is not growing. This scripture is not growing in me. Do you have a bad understanding about it? Do you have a perverted understanding? Are you trying to manipulate the word of God, that scripture that you have, that you're holding on to, that scripture that you're quoting and meditating on? Are you trying to manipulate it? Like, are you, you know, perverting, twisting it, and not allowing God to give you a healthy understanding of his scripture, of his word, what he's revealing to help you in your walk? Or are you just saying, okay, I got this word and I'm going to use it against another scripture to try to validate something that can give me an excuse of why I don't need to do something, or why, you know, okay, it's not necessary to answer the call and not necessary to, you know, get to the altar and build up the altar and keep, you know, this standard of holiness, the standard of righteousness, you know? So you have to really look at your motives in, okay, is my seed growing? Is the word that's implanted in me growing? It says, unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So it's not enough to just hear it, but we have to understand the word. And, you know, we serve an awesome God to where, God, help me understand this. Your word, this scripture you're giving me, help me understand this. How does this look in my life? How can I apply this word? What does this look like that I can walk out this word? And God will give you understanding. He will use so many things. You know, he will use your pastor, your peer, your children, your spouse. He will use, you know, anything. He will use TV. He can use anything as a sign and a message to say, oh, I understand that. Like, he would use a song. He can use anything regarding his word to say, God, how am I to apply that? He'd be like, oh, that's how that looks in my life. okay, God. And it says, which also beareth fruit. So we have to bear the fruit and bring it forth. This beareth speaks to, you know, it, you know, coming, but also the weight and the responsibility of the fruit, like being able to hold it. And see, some of us, you know, are not holding the fruit. Some of us are, you know, mishandling the fruit, even though we hear the word and we're understanding it and we're getting a better understanding of the word. But then we also have to beareth the fruit. We have to bear it, the fruit, and then it bringeth forth. So there's a time for that very fruit to bring forth. So we have to bear that patience. We have to bear the fruit, you know, the faith. We have to bear that love and then allow it to bring forth. The fruit that God is working in you, you have to hold it. Like, we can't say, okay, God, well, I'm tired of this love. I'm tired of this temperance. I'm tired of this meekness. God, I'm tired of this responsibility, this weight of this call, this, what you've given me, this responsibility. God, I'm tired of it. Your word, because, you know, the word has grown in us and it's, you know, causing us to birth, you know, and to bear in the weight of what God is revealing, his character in us. Right. And that's why we're to answer that call, because he's wanting his character in us. And that beareth fruit means to actually uphold it and then bring it forth. So sometimes it can happen together. And sometimes, depending on your walk and your journey, where you are, God may say, okay, I need you to hold that for a little bit. Yes, that is fruit. I am coming. Hold that. And then it's going to be able to bring forth. You know, it's going to be able to be seen, shown in this area in your life. And it says, in some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And we have to understand that even this weight of the fruit and that bringing forth, it's going to look different. And we have to be open to that. That call is going to look different. How God will call you, it may look different from one day to the next day throughout your week. It may look different. But we have to be open so that the seed of God's word, because we want it to be on good ground. And so it may be 100-fold one day. It may be 60 another day. And it may be some 30. And you can't even look at, okay, well, my neighbor has 100-fold right now. And I only have 60. But if that is what God is desiring for you to bear and to hold that weight and to just, and then bring it forth, value what you're bringing forth. It's not for you to compare to say, well, wait, what I'm bringing forth, it looks different than what they're bringing forth. No, but value, okay, where God has you and what he is desiring. And see, this is, we have to make this personal. This is our walk in God. Like, okay, God, help us. This call that we have to respond to, this call to the altar. Okay, God, what you're going to do in me at the altar may be different what you're doing for somebody else at the altar. Amen. So this, you know, I wanted to definitely go to the scripture, because this really talks about that, you know, engrafted word, understanding what God is wanting to do when he says engrafted, allowing that seed. So receive the seed, receive the word, and allow it to be on good ground. And this is indication, you know, so these are steps that you can look at to say, okay, this is how it's on good ground, allowing the word to be engrafted and planted in me. Amen. Amen. So even with that, you know, before we go to, and as we're at verse, you know, we're moving on, but even as we're thinking about, you know, the word of God, this is something that, you know, God even dealt with me about, that nurturing, the nurture of the seed, like that maintenance. And I said, God, we can't get away from maintenance. I need somebody to know today, you can't get away from maintenance. You can't get away from nurturing and that nurturing. And some of us have been neglecting and that nurture, and we have to nurture the seed, and you have to, you know, have that maintenance and tend to it, to use your senses to tend to it, to be aware of the word of God, you know, growing in you, manifesting in your life. Amen. And so verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we're going to stop right here. And I want to go over the definition of alter egos. alter egos. Okay, so this is A-L-T-E-R, ego. And this talks about the second self or different version of oneself, hid inside of one's own self, hid inside of one own self, like in, even in regarding demons. So even, you know, the enemy and demons, and then even in your own self, right? And just that different version. And so here is where we're going to get dive in a little bit more of this different version of oneself. So as we're going to verse 22, and it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So here, doer, it talks about, you know, carrying out. But be ye doers, to carry out of the word. And so that's why it's so important for the word to be implanted in us, for the word to grow in us, to take root in us. So it says, because, but be ye doers of the word. So to carry out the word, so we can be able to successfully make that choice. Remember Prophetess Benita, she talked about that, making that choice. You know, God has given us free will. We're going to make that choice to carry out this word because it's implanted. You know, I've allowed the word to grow in me. It's implanted in me. So I have what I need. God has equipped us. He has equipped you. And it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So here, yes, we have this hearers and what we hear, even with our senses. And so it's saying, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So God is looking for us, even with this doers, our focus. I really want us to focus on the doers. And it says, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So even as I was studying about doers, and I talked to you about it carrying out, but, you know, it also spoke to, as I was, you know, looking up doers, it spoke to performer. And I said, okay, you know, a performer. But the definition of performer, it talks about to adhere to the terms. This is what God is looking for us to adhere to the terms of the word, right? God is looking for us to adhere to those terms of his word, of the word of God, of the word that was implanted in us, of the word that is buried in us. You know, the word of God says, hide the word in your heart so that you don't sin against him. You know, so the word that's hid in your heart, you know, that word that's implanted there, that's buried, that's taken root in you, that's on the good ground, so that we can be able to adhere to it. We have to adhere to it. Means we have to follow it. And some of us, that's where that agitation, that agitation, because we have the word implanted, and, you know, we have it being grown in us and it's on good ground. But we find ourselves with some of the word. We're not adhering to it. We're not following it. I need us to follow it today. Amen. You know, when we really look at, okay, what does it mean? Altar call, the altar call, the call to answer that call, to be able to respond. We're going to adhere to the word of God, to what God is saying, not, you know, adhere to my emotions. See, I want to be able to adhere to how I'm feeling in that moment. I want to be able to, okay, but this is just how I'm feeling. Yes, you can acknowledge how you're feeling. Yes, you have real feelings. Yes, you are having this real experience right now. But what God is looking for me to carry out, to adhere to the terms of his word, not adhere to the terms of that I've come in connection with my emotions. And see, that's where, you know, we've even been talking about and even how it's connected to that altered, getting altered. Like, we've now have terms with our emotions. Okay, I got terms with, you know, my feelings. Okay, if I feel like this, I should just be able to react and just be able to say whatever I want to say. You know, this is this feeling. This is how I'm feeling. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm offended. Whatever I'm feeling. I'm lonely. I want some attention. Whatever kind of feelings you have going on, you know, you have these terms with your feelings, with your emotions. You have terms. And we have to now, remember that force, pull it apart, that force, pull it down. No longer adhere to the terms with my emotions. We've, you know, and that's even what we've been talking about with the, you know, the commitment, the covenant. You know, we've had some, you know, the covenant with our emotions like this. We got terms, like we have an agreement, we have an arrangement, I should say, because, you know, our emotions will trick us all the time. So it's not a fair thing, but we still feel like we have an arrangement with our emotions. We have an arrangement, but God is saying, no, adhere to the terms, the arrangement with my word, with the word of God. Adhere to it, do it, carry it out, and not be hearers only. So that is how that looks, you know, and it says deceiving your own selves. And see, this is when it talks about deceiving. We're deceiving our own selves. Like we are, and as I studied this, y'all, you know, this is another scripture, you know, God's word. I love God's word, even though it doesn't always feel good. But let me tell you this scripture, you know, I pray this scripture, like, yeah, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But let me tell you, as I studied that deceiving, let me get a drink right quick, a water. But as I studied that word about deceiving, it talked about misreckon and miscount. So, you know, when you think about deceiving, you automatically, and yes, it is also speaking to, you know, believing something that is false, like, okay, you deceive, like, no, that's false, but you're wanting to believe that, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I know, you know, I didn't, you know, put this, you know, I know I didn't put in the work, but I still want to say, you know, I did, like, I know I didn't call you, but I'm going to deceive myself. Like, yeah, I am, you know, showing myself friendly, but I know I didn't call anybody. I know, you know, so I'm deceiving my own self. So like, I'm believing, you know, something that's false. My actual actions are not lining up with the reality, like what's actually going on, right? So we're deceiving ourselves, but it's more to it than just, you know, wanting to believe something that's false and, you know, deceive your own self and believe in something that's not true, right? It speaks to this misreckon and miscount. So when we find ourselves not adhering to the terms of the word of God, when we find ourselves not carrying it out and willing to just hear it but not carry it out, we are taking it, we're making an incorrect estimate. So even when I looked up miscount, that talks about making an incorrect estimate, an incorrect judgment or calculation. Come on, y'all. Listen, this right here hurt me. I said, God, I've been miscalculating some things, y'all. I don't know. I know I'm not by myself. You've miscalculated some things. And so if you find yourself saying, I miscalculated that. Why? Because things not adding up. I had incorrect estimate of how this conversation was supposed to go. I had an incorrect judgment on how this was supposed to go because, you know, we're not actually adhering to the terms of the word of God. But, you know, in that conversation, you're not adhering to the terms of the word of God of how you should carry out your communication, how you should carry out your words. You're not adhering to what the word said about your words. You're not adhering to it. You're not carrying it out. So therefore, you're finding yourself miscalculating how that conversation is going to end. You miscalculated how that interaction end up happening. Amen. See, that's how that looks. I've miscalculated, you guys. There are some things I've miscalculated. I didn't estimate correctly. And we can't lean on our intellect to say, oh, okay, I calculated this. I'm smart. I'm good in math. You know, I took this math one. I took all this math. My major was in math, all that. That sounds all good. But if you do not have your, if you do not allow yourself to carry out the word of God, you're still going to find yourself miscalculating, misestimating. Amen. You're going to find yourself misjudging. Amen. And so it says deceiving your own selves, like you're misjudging your own self. You're miscalculating within your own self. Amen. And let us go ahead on to verse 23. And so, you know, I want you to remember the definition about the alter ego of different version of oneself. So it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Again, so remember, this is saying, okay, so if you're being a hearer of the word and not a doer of carrying it out, of adhering to the terms, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, what we have to look at here is Yes, we have to be open, honest, transparent. So God is dealing with the real us. This is what this series, you know, God in the purpose, you know, alter egos, really say, God, let me deal with the real me. So God, that, you know, we can be better in our walk, be the best version of ourselves, and so that God can be pleased, so that God can be glorified. This is for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, not carrying it out, he is like unto a man beholding. So like you're seeing, as you're beholding, you're taking a look of your natural face, of the realness of who you are in a glass, and the glass represents the word of God. And if we are not carrying out the terms of the word in our walk, in our everyday walk, in all that we do, we are going to be like a man that will see our imperfections, like that natural face. You're going to see the blemishes, you know, when you don't, and that natural face, that's that no makeup, you know, no disguise, no front. This is the real me. This is what you see. This right here, this is it. That natural face. And see, that even goes back to, you know, without God's grace and mercy, without the blood of Christ, without him saving me, that, you know, that naughtiness, that all that, that our sinful nature, all that. So in order, if we don't adhere to the word, those are things that we're seeing, right? But the thing is, it says, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face. So you're seeing these things about yourself. I'm seeing these imperfections. I'm seeing all these blemishes, these spots, because I'm seeing it as I, you know, see, as I'm looking in the word, I'm seeing this. And what is happening in verse 24? It says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So when we are not adhering, when we are not carrying out, right, we're going to see that. And regardless, we need to see ourselves. And that's where we cannot, you know, miscalculate, saying, well, I didn't think I was that mean. I didn't think I was that bitter. I didn't think I was that unforgiving. I didn't think I was that sarcastic. I didn't think I was that lazy. I didn't think I was that fearful. Oh, come on now. I didn't think I was that. See, that's when it goes back to that, you know, you're deceiving yourself, and you're not, you know, you're miscalculating. You misestimate it, because the word of God, you're not allowing the word. I need to allow the word to deal with me. You need to allow the word of God to deal with you in right there where you are. Answer the call. That is why. So the word can deal with you, because when you don't allow it and we miscalculate, like, oh, I didn't think it was like that. Yes, it's like that. I didn't think I would react like that. Yes, you will. I didn't think I would get offended. Oh, yes, I did. You know? And so it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so this speaks to that forgetting, like that different version of self, because it says, for he beholdeth himself. So we see ourselves. We see the imperfections. We see the flaws. We see the spot. We see that anger. We see that fear. We see that procrastination. We see that bitterness. We see that unforgiveness. We see all these things. And we go with our way. And it says straightway. And that straightway means immediately. We immediately forgetteth what manner of man we was. So like we see these things. So when we're not adhering and allowing the word to deal with us, when we're not carrying out the word, you know, that doer carrying it out, we then don't allow the word to do what it needs to do in those things that we see. And so because we're not adhering to the terms of the word of God, we're not holding ourselves accountable. And yes, you can have accountability partners, but when are you going to hold your own self accountable? Because when you can't, you know, and yes, and I'm not saying, please understand, accountability partners is so good. Like I have them. They're good. They're needed. So I'm not saying, I don't need nobody to try to hold me accountable. No, yes, we do. But when that accountability partner can't get to you, they can't reach you, they can't check on you, are you going to hold yourself accountable? The word is here. That is what it's trying to do, hold us accountable. And that is what it's doing. When we're facing our natural face, these are things, spots, these are issues that's going on, my sin, things that's in me, right? Things that are in me. And I have to allow the word to deal with those things. We have to allow the word to deal with them. And when we are not engaging with the word, having that exchange, right? You know, this is the altar, you know, that place of exchange. When we're not engaging with God and saying, okay, God, engaging, exchanging, even in the scripture, in the word, allowing it, you know, to adhere, to take the terms of what the word says, then we forget how raggedy we are. Then we forget that spot. And we forget how much God needs to clean us up. That's what it really is. How much, you know, that manner of man he was. We forget, oh, I can get that angry. I can be that fearful. I can, you know, be that lustful. I can be that bitter. I can be that unforgiving. I can be that wishy-washy. I can be that procrastinator. You know, whatever it is, you can be. And that's why we cannot, you know, stop adhering to the terms. And again, when it talks about adhering to the terms, it talks about what? That terms of the word of God, not on your terms. Giving up that control. I got to give up control and allow the terms of the word of God. Like, you cannot put your own terms on the word of God. Say, okay, God, these are my terms regarding this word. I've done that. Okay, God, this is what you're saying. This is the word of God. These are my terms. God, you spoke this regarding, you know, me to blog and me to write. Okay, these are my terms and how I want to do it. No, I can't put my own terms on it. But if God is giving the word, if God is sending a word, we have to say, God, it's on your terms. God, you said forgive that I may be forgiven. God, okay, it's on your terms. Not, well, I'm going to forgive this one this time because it wasn't that bad. But not with them, because there's no forgiving that. You know, it can't be on our own terms. It can't be on our own terms. And it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And even, you know, I want us to talk a little bit even regarding this, that forgetting. As I was studying, you know, and it talks about that forgetting, you know, that, and you know, we say we forget, okay, oh, I forgot, you know, but it even talks about just not, you know, being aware and being attentive. And it talked about, even when I was studying about, you know, forgetfulness, it talked about, you know, being preoccupied. It talked about, you know, neglectful, careless, preoccupied, and a failure to give proper care and attention to. I said, Lord, help me, Jesus, I'm done. A straightway forgetteth what manner. So, like, we're not able to give the proper care and attention when we're not, you know, carrying out the word of God, when we're not carrying out the terms that God has set. We're not giving proper care and attention. And that goes back to that maintenance. God is looking for that maintenance, that proper care. And see, that's for us. And, you know, like I told you, God is mindful with his words. And even when God was speaking this to me, you know, it's not enough, because some of us, you know, because, and I'll be honest, I've had care and attentive, and I've been attentive. You've given care and attention, right? But God is saying that proper care. There is a way to care and a way for you to be attentive. And it needs to be proper for the situation or the circumstance that you are in, to wherever you are in your walk. And that proper care and attention may look different from your Monday to your Tuesday, depending on whatever God is trying to work in you, whatever God is saying. Adhere to those terms for this moment, that moment, in that moment, allow, you know, that proper care and attention. Amen. And we cannot be neglectful, y'all. We can't be careless, because, and that preoccupied. And I said, God, this hurt me, because, you know, we can be, want to multitask, and I'm not saying you can't multitask, but we have to be, God, help me, settle me. And that goes back to that agitation in the soul, that restlessness. God is wanting to bring a settledness. Hallelujah. He's wanting to bring a settledness to us, to our soul, to our spirit, to where it's like, okay, God, I am knowing how to give the proper care and attention to this and to this and to this. These things that I'm needing to do, these things that I'm needing to carry out, these responsibilities, what's on my plate, God, what you're calling my attention to give that proper care, to not be careless with it, to not, you know, be so preoccupied with one thing that I'm, you know, find myself losing proper care and attention to another thing. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I know that has been a thing. And I say, God, help me. That has been an agitation in my soul. God, I'm giving proper care and attention to this and this area, but then I feel like in this area, I've lost the proper care and attention. I feel like I'm being careless in this area while I'm trying to be, you know, careful and be occupied in this, God. I'm being preoccupied with this, God. So, but what about this? Come on now. That's where that agitation can come in, God, in my family, okay, God, but God, in my prayer, God, I'm trying to occupy, I'm preoccupied here, preoccupied on my job, but God, I find myself still wanting to get before you, still trying to get in prayer, have this, you know, this engagement, this meeting with you, this, you know, building my faith, God. One, I want to sit down and just listen in the word, God, but God, this also, I was preoccupied in this area, you know, so many ways, wherever this word, you know, hits you in your life right now. But God is saying, you know what? He's coming to help us. We answer the call, the altar call. We answer that call so that we, you know, are not so preoccupied and careless and neglectful. Because that's, like I said, we find ourselves as feeling neglectful in one way and not in the other. But God is coming to deal with it all. Amen. And so that's why it's so necessary. Regardless of what we are doing, we adhere to the word of God, adhere to the terms, because those terms will help us be able to provide the proper care and attention, will help us to be able to be occupied in those areas and know how to be effective and efficient in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So God, we thank you. So even as we go to verse 25, amen. Amen. As we close up, and it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. Look at God. This is so beautiful. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So again, we have to look that gaze, that attention right into the perfect law of liberty, which is God, the word of God. His word is perfect. God is perfect. So even the law, and that is the liberty. And that's why we have to answer the call. See, some of us feel like, you know, if I answer this call, it's going to be something else. But see, God is given that liberty. You're going to be more liberated, free, that perfect law in him. So whosoever looketh into him, so we got to look into his word, look into that engagement with God, into that exchange with God, and look into him and continuing therein. So as we look into God, look into his word, we need to abide there and continue, allow it to be perpetual, that continual. You know, Prophetess Bonita talked about that continual victory. That's how this looks. You know, when we continue to adhere and, you know, carry out the word and the terms of the word of God, that's when we're going to continue therein. And it says, and he being not a forgetful hearer. So not being a careless, a neglectful hearer. Y'all, I've been a neglectful hearer. I've been a careless hearer. It says, but a doer of the work. So we cannot, you guys, I want to charge you not to be a neglectful hearer of what you know God has been speaking, of what you know the terms of the word of God that God has been giving you. Don't be a neglectful hearer, but be a doer, be a carry out of the work, because it's work to be done, to be able to be an effective. And see, that's some of us too, that agitation, that anxiety in our soul, because we feel like, God, I'm struggling, and to be effective, to be able to carry out the work, I don't know if I can carry out this work. But see, that's when you got to say, okay, that's why I need God. I need the Lord. I can't do it on my own. And I know that has been, God, I can't do it, but God, with you, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we can be able to carry out the work that God has placed in your hands, that he's placed in my hands, when we are not neglecting what we hear by adhering to the terms of the word of God, by allowing ourselves to look into the word, look into God. Don't run from his presence. Don't run from that engagement. Don't run from that time in God with him. It matters. Amen. It matters. It says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Y'all, God is saying we're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed in your deed. And I, even as I was studying, God, he spoke that intentional performance. You're going to be blessed in your intentions. Hallelujah. See, that's where we've had some agitation, because the intentions and the results, it's not adding up. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. I hope somebody getting free today. I'm getting free today. The intentions and the results are not add. They weren't adding up, y'all. But God is saying, we're going to be blessed in your deed. You know, when we are carrying out the terms of the work, this man should be blessed. God is going to meet us. It's going to be a blessing. He's going to meet you in your attention, your performance, and you intentionally performing. He's going to meet you in your intentions on this week. He's going to meet you in your intentions to say, God, I choose you, God. I choose to adhere to the terms of your word, God, beyond how I feel, beyond how I think, beyond what's going on. God, I choose to adhere to the terms of your word, to the terms of the word that was spoken over my house, the word that was spoken regarding my career, my walk, wherever, you know, my family, all those things. I choose to adhere to those terms. That's what God is going to meet you today. He's going to meet you and bless you. Amen, amen. So that is the altar call. Will you answer the call to the altar? Get to the altar. Will you answer the call when he calls out? When he calls you, will you respond? When he pulls you, will you respond? Answer the call. When God is speaking, even when you feel like, God, I feel like I've been distant. God, I feel like you've been distant. And it's not because God wants to be distant, but God, I chose, you know, some actions, some choices I made. I've caused this feeling of being distant. But God is still speaking to you right now. His voice is still able to reach you right now, even in that distance. You are going to be able to hear, even in that place of feeling that distance with God. Ha, yada, basho. You're going to be able to hear. God is speaking. I need you to know today that he's speaking. Answer the call. The request, answer the call. The demand, hallelujah. There is a demand. Will you respond? Amen, 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 amen. So thank you so much. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in, and please make sure to visit us at churchatphila.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchatphila.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.